as well. Good morning. It is 8:32, 78 degrees. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell into the studio. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Lori. Good morning, Fairhope.
If we have time, we'll also transition to your hat as chairman of the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Okay.
You don't mind staying busy at all, do you?
I don't mind staying busy. You know, what's 16 hours a day?
Exactly. Yeah. Let's start with a couple of things before we get to the city council agenda that some folks have been asking about and I've seen around town. A new substation, electrical substation, sewer substation, what do you call that?
Oh, it's an electrical substation.
Okay, is going to be placed on Morphy Avenue, just past the Hoffrens property in that area, was a house that set back from the road. The city bought the property, but it's right next door to Hawthorne Glen.
Right.
And some residents are complaining.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, Lori, that's to be expected. I don't think that anybody wants an electrical substation built next to them. However, we are doing everything that we possibly can do to mitigate any encroachment upon that property. Several things that I want to point out here is that, first and foremost, is that we must, we must place that substation somewhere along Morphy Avenue, between there and Bishop Road, between Fairhope Avenue and Bishop Road. There is a very large retention pond there behind the Winn-Dixie Shopping Center, or just to the east of the Winn-Dixie Shopping Center, behind the ABC store on the east end of that shopping center. And we searched and searched for available properties. There was nothing that we could find. We even approached people about properties that weren't for sale trying to buy property along that road. And when we couldn't find any, we determined that we had to put it in that retention pond area, which was going to require about $1 million of improvements to that to fill that in. And we're talking about the size of about 2 football fields and 10 foot deep. So you can just imagine the hundred thousands of cubic yards of dirt we were going to have to put in there.
Not to mention where would the water go?
Well, and the water, right, and that is another thing. Once you disrupt that, then you're liable for all the water downstream, and you're basically putting a substation, you know, in a drainage basin, in, you know, in a pond, and you have to elevate it, and things can go wrong. And we had a lot of concerns about that, but we had no other options. And let's also point out that there were homes, and there were more homes touching that substation location than there are touching it at Hawthorne Glen. Many more homes touching that. So we were going to get pushback from those residents as well, but we are going to put, you know, landscape buffers. And then we'll get into the to some of the benefits of maybe having a substation next to you, not the least of which is you'll be first to have power if power goes out. But nonetheless, people, they're upset. They're going to get upset, and there's not a lot we can do about it. This property that you mentioned that we did purchase, it came on the market. It came on the market unexpectedly. We found out about it, luckily, and we jumped on it, and we made a very reasonable offer on the land. And
what did you pay for it?
We paid $250,000 for the property.
Really?
Yes.
Now, there's a house in what looks to be at least 2 to 3 acres.
That's right.
I was expecting it to cost you a lot more than that.
Yes. One could definitely assume that we got a really great deal there. And the amount of dirt work, site work that's going to have to be done there is, you know, probably not even 10% of what we're going to have to do.
Yeah.
Not to mention, we don't have to worry about flooding. We don't have to worry about, you know, what's going to happen downstream because we filled in an old retention area. Very, you know, and filled it in with you know, hundreds of thousands of yards.
It also looks like there's already some buffer area.
There are. I think maybe 3 to 5 houses that will abut this substation, and we're trying to keep it as far from the property line as possible. There will be a buffer. We have studies, you know, new transformers. They're not noisy. It will be very low. You know, I don't think people will hear it. I want to say they won't hear it at all, but it's going to be on the order. The decibel level is on the order of a dishwasher, a quiet dishwasher.
What?
At that. And that's from 6 feet away. So if you're 50 or 75 feet away or 100 feet away, probably for all intents and purposes, you won't hear it at all. There's no traffic. There's no residents. There's no, people complain about traffic. There's going to be, it was already zoned for patio homes. And if we don't buy it, there's probably going to be 40 homes going in there. You know, right. 20 to 40 homes. People are going to complain about that. I don't want 40 homes in my right. backyard, mm-hmm. and I don't want 80 cars there. So there's pros and cons to it. I think that it will make a great neighbor. If you go down Section Street, there is a really nice neighborhood just behind the Lakewood Golf Course, and there's a Riviera Power Station that sits directly behind it, right across the street. There's no landscape buffer. There's no wall. There's nothing but a wire fence around it. And a chain link fence around it, and we get no complaints about that. I mean, I don't know that Riviera does. So that's just one example. Is it did not apparently it didn't affect the property values in that neighborhood because they sell for $700,000 to $1 million. So I hear the complaints. I think that once it's said and done, that your property values, your quality of life, will not be affected in the least.
Okay. And this is part of our, not just the sewer upgrade, but all of the infrastructure upgrades
this is
going on.
Part of the $12 million in electrical substation right. upgrades that's going on right now.
Okay, very good. Before we also get to the agenda for tonight's meeting, a lot of folks have been talking on social media, and of course, every time I pass the corner and see them, I mention it. Solicitors wearing yellow vests, carrying buckets, claiming to be with a church, asking for donations in the middle of traffic at Greenough Road and Fairhope Avenue. And we've seen it numerous times, maybe once a month or so. Is that legal?
Yeah. Well, great question, Lori. They do have a permit to do so. I'll tell you that. So the question to be asked, though, is, anybody can get a permit. And I've asked the police, and they're complying is to look into whether or not the group is a legitimate charity. Because they do have to jump through some hoops to get that permit. Now, we have received many complaints about these panhandlers, I'm going to call them, at the corner of Greenough Road and 98. The police are on the lookout for them to issue them a citation should they come back.
Wait, I thought you said they had a permit.
Well, they've violated some of our other rules. They're stopping traffic. They're running, they're being pretty aggressive, and when they block traffic, they can't do so. The police did not tell me the nature of the citation, but they are in some violation, and if they come back, they will be issued a citation. So we've heard the complaints about that, but you have to be very, very careful because if they are a legitimate charity, and I know they're a Florida charity, but I don't think the law distinguishes if you're a Florida charity or a Fairhope charity.
Maybe we need to look into changing that ordinance, well, Mr. Councilman.
Well, you could look
Why
into it.
Why would we let Floridian, someone from out of state, come and take our generous donations?
That's a great question. However, we have to follow state law, and that's things that we're looking at. So, are they legitimate? Number one, can we pass something locally that would prevent a non-local charity from getting funds because they're just taking advantage of our generosity? We know it, and they know it. My biggest question is, are they a legitimate charity? But they are. They have violated at least some ordinance, and they will be issued a citation if they come back. And they've been notified of that as well. And so, we have been in the council and the mayor have been in touch with the police. And I know that citizens have been in contact with the police, and I've actually been in contact with some of those citizens, and I know that they have personally spoken to members of the Fairhope Police Department, and they were very satisfied at the response that they did receive from the police.
Good. Glad to hear that.
When you get on social media and you get, 500 comments, just because a council member doesn't jump in there and respond doesn't mean that we're not reading this and that we're not aware of this. A lot of times it just doesn't behoove us with social media. A lot of times it gets out of hand.
No
matter what you say, it's a lose-lose situation. So we tend not to get into those discussions because a lot of times comments being made there are being made without the benefit of the inside knowledge that we have. So, we'd choose not to get into those.
Okay. Anything on the work session you want to mention? I failed to print that. I don't have it.
Well, there's actually a quite a bit a on. I'll just one. Go through it. It's all a pretty big work session. I'll try to go very quickly. Restore Act Sewer Project upgrades or updates. We're going to get an update from Andy Bobie, one of our engineers, one of our contract engineers that's working on the sewer projects. We're going to see where we're at on that. Of course, that's part of the $10 million sewer upgrades that's going on that we're doing with Restore Act funds. And then there is going to be a discussion. The Rec Board wants to know if they can go after a grant for improvements to the 40-acre colony property, which is really city property, which is out there behind the Boy Scout Lodge. We actually have a 40-acre park there.
The city does.
The city does. Yeah, that was deeded to us by single tax colony. I think 5 or 6 years ago that reverted back to the city. It was in our hands. We sent it back to the single tax, and then they gave it back to us. And the reason we do that is so that we can preserve it as parklands forever, similar to what we're talking about doing with the Triangle property right now.
That was on one of my questions.
Yeah, that's a way to do it, to get away from the conservation easement, but allow it to be forever saved, which I think the vast majority of citizens want. That's one method of doing it. Discussion of plans for the American Rescue Plan funds. That is over $1 million in funds that we're going to get from this COVID relief. You know,
it's almost $2 million, isn't it?
I didn't say something. The exact number because I didn't have it in front of me. But yeah, maybe close to $2 million. Might be $1.9 million. We're going to hear discussion. This is something that we're going to watch intently because we take advice from staff, but council needs to make these decisions to determine where the priorities are. And we have a lot of needs right now. And also, I had this discussion with the mayor on Saturday. Yes, we work Saturdays too. We had a long discussion about the needs and what is being proposed to the city. And I think with a lot of these multi-million dollar projects, we need third parties to review what's being proposed to us just to make sure that we're not getting a lot of stuff thrown at us, a lot of fluff, so that these engineering companies, the larger the project, the more the fees. And I just want to be sure that the things that they're telling us we need, we really need. And it's a heck of a lot cheaper to get a second opinion. If you were going to have brain surgery, would you get a second opinion?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what we need to do.
So what do you mean? Are you talking about a proposal from someone that wants to build a complex? You've got staff to review that. What are you talking about the second opinion
for? If somebody says, well, we need to improve your sewer system or your water supply system here, and that's going to cost $4 million, what I'm saying is, well, that's a lot of money. Let's make sure that what you're proposing makes sense, because we may find something that's less expensive, that's more efficient. Their engineering firms have different ideas about what needs to be done. I mean, in anything that we're doing. So all I'm saying is, I think that we need to start implementing some processes to make sure that we're not being sold a bill of goods. Not saying that we are, but we...
Yeah, well, a good example would be the utility restoration to the pier, where you got bids of over $200,000, I think
$250,000.
And the city is going to do
it
itself.
We did it for $30,000.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff I'm saying.
Perfect. Thank you. Because, it really irritates me when I see y'all just...
I remember when my dad had open heart surgery.
Drop of a hat.
15 years ago, my dad had open heart surgery. The first surgeon said, there's no hope for him. He's just not going to make it. Second surgeon said, I think your dad's got many years left in him. I'll do the surgery. He did the surgery, and he lived another 6 or 8 years. If he hadn't had the surgery, if he'd taken advice of the first surgeon, he would have been dead within a year.
Okay.
So it's just sometimes we need to get a second opinion. I want to put these engineering firms on notice. We're going to start getting second opinions because some of the fees are getting pretty exorbitant.
And that's going to cost more to do that.
It will cost more.
Commission one study and then a second study to check on the first study.
It may be just a review of the study, so it won't be as involved. I think you can get that for pennies on the dollar.
We're speaking with Fairhope City Council President Jack Burrell here at WABF. It is 8:46. Let's talk about the Triangle property. And we had a committee meeting on Friday about the Triangle property, and then we've also got it on the city council agenda for tomorrow night. It was called two different things. I wanted to find it.
You got it on the council. What's tomorrow night?
I mean, not tomorrow
night. Tonight?
tonight.
I thought there was another one.
The number 11. The city council approves the selection of Jade Consulting to perform topographic survey services at the Triangle property and authorizes the mayor to negotiate a fee schedule. Then the meeting on Friday, the committee meeting, was about the designating it as an easement. Tell us about that.
I'm not familiar. What meeting was on Friday?
I'm going to look it up for you.
Yeah. So this, first of all, I can speak to the agenda item, item 11. We actually have been donated some funds to perform this study, so that will be of no cost. And it's just a topographic survey, which is just a first step and coming up with a plan to protect and save that property. And I've even asked the mayor if there was a topographic survey performed in the past, and we cannot find one. But, you know, the Village North PUD that was going to be built there, I would have thought there would have been a topographic study that was performed for that. And then I want to know exactly why we need a topographic study for parkland. So I'm going to ask some serious questions about that one tonight.
Okay, here it is. Fairhope, it was in my recycle box.
Okay. At least Fairhope, it was in your recycling and not your trash can.
Fairhope Environmental Advisory Board, Friday, June 25th, 3 p.m., review of work on an easement for the Dias Parkland property. And I emailed the city clerk and said, is the Dias Parkland property the same thing as the Triangle property? And she said, yes. I'm like, well, perhaps they need to start calling it the same thing.
Yeah, it's the first I've ever heard it called the Dias Parkland property. And I have not heard of the results. Of course, this was just this past Friday at 3 p.m., so our council liaison to that hopefully will give us
an update
on that. Okay. So, I look forward to hearing what that's all about. So
you take that with you if you need to.
No, okay. I'm good. Thank you.
Well, before we run out of time, let's keep on rolling.
A lot going on, isn't there?
I know. I'm going to skip to number 15 because this looks like more improvements for the water department, $415,000.
Yeah, that's something we've been talking about now for the last, probably three or four or five council meetings. And once again, new water transmission line, that implies, you know, an 8-inch line or a 10-inch line or a 12-inch line. And I think in this case, after all was said and done, I think we're moving up to a 12-inch line. That's a line that's had a lot of water hammering, a lot of pressure on it, and it's caused some ruptures in the line. And
County Road 33?
Yep. That's right.
Where's that?
County Road 33 would be down Highway 3 or down Section Street as you continue on quite a ways, kind of near the polo fields.
Right. I knew of County Road 3. I wondered if this was a misprint for 33.
Well, okay. I want to say 33 is correct.
It and is that in the city limits?
No, but it is in our water. You know, it's in our water supply district. It's part of our water supply.
That's a lot of money for a study. Talking about getting your independent or second opinions, $415,000 for a study.
I've got to find out whether that includes the construction of that, because you know if it's engineering fees. This is exactly what I'm saying. If engineering fees are 10 or 15%, is that a $4 million line? I need to know.
Please ask that question.
Yeah,
because it says to perform professional consulting services. Yeah. It does not. You're right. Ask that question. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. Right. And I'm ready to start hammering engineering companies on fees. We can't just go, oh, yeah, sounds good.
Well, I like the fact that you're also an engineer.
Right.
So at least you know.
Well,
of what
and
you
I know
speak.
What I know what, you know, it's typically 10 to 15% of the project cost. So, you know, is this a $4 to $6 million project? I don't know. I don't know that it is.
We look forward to you asking that question and seeing the answer on YouTube, the City of Fairhope's YouTube channel. You can watch these meetings live or watch them later. Number 16, I understand the Recreation Department is adding some ball fields and parking, and we saw some trees go down, and then some disc golfers were wondering was their course going to be messed up, but then I heard that disc golf will remain in this Recreation Department improvement. What can you tell us?
First of all, you're right. It is to make improvements to that vast area of vacant land to the north of the Recreation center, and disc golf will remain there for the time being. However, if you go back to the work session and there was going to be a discussion of uses for the Colony property, it is being discussed to build a disc golf course at that property.
Where's that again?
That's out there by the Boy Scout Lodge.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That is at
the corner of 44 and 13.
That would be a great place.
It is a great location for it. Yeah, there's a lot of things that can go on there. You know, you can put all kind of trails there, disc golf. There's been talk of cycling trails there. That's 40 acres is a pretty sizable piece of land.
Well, I thought the big bike path thing was going to be at the dais.
Well, and we passed that. We passed that bike study. We actually approved a biking path there on the Triangle property.
Well, it was spearheaded by Robert Brown, who's no longer a city councilman. Do you think that that idea will be fueled by someone else?
Well, it should be. He did carry the torch for that. But, you know, you and I've talked about this. We don't talk about it as much recently, but in a prior administration, we talked about, well, the council passed a resolution to do this, and that's the word resolution means resolve. It's the council's resolve to do this. It has to be executed. The council is not the people charged with executing the actions. So somewhere along the way, the action just got stopped. Sometimes the council has to step up and take action, and that's where you get a real rub. And we just don't want to have that friction. So that's something I'd rather take up with the mayor and just make her aware that we did pass that resolution.
Wasn't there a resolution 10 years ago for a roundabout there at Scenic 98 in Section 2?
Well, that is definitely in the works, and that should be completed in 2023 right now. I'm actually working with the Eastern Shore MPO,
which you
mentioned I was a chairman of, to move that up the list. That is a very high priority, and we would like to get that moved up. I don't know if we can, but that's slated for construction 2023.
Okay. I see on the agenda we're getting more LED lights for the next year's lighting of the trees and Christmas for $48,750. So those lights can't be reused. I'm guessing once they take them down out of the tree.
Well, I've asked that question. Could they be a little bit more careful with them when they take them down instead of just cutting them? But what the answer I got last year when I asked that question was that now that we're leaving them up a lot longer, their lifespan has been greatly reduced. And I'll be honest, this is a much smaller number than we have spent in the years past. So it looks to me like we did preserve. I want to say we bought about 15,000 strings last year.
Mm-hmm.
So if we only buy 5,000 strings a year, I'm pretty happy with that. That's $48,000, $49,000. I know, Laura, you'd be the first to argue that's a lot of money for lights. But compared to what we've spent in the past, and I think we're gonna have our crews back to installing them. That expense is going to be roughly $150,000 to $170,000 less than it has been in the past.
Okay, very good.
Because we were spending between the lights and the installation about $220,000 for that.
Okay. And number 21, perhaps. This is the tennis club lift station off County Road 32. Looks like about 90-something thousand dollars to improve pumps and sewer controls there.
Yeah. Just more sewer rehabilitation, lift station in this case. And we've got about 80 lift stations. And a lot of them are just being overwhelmed, and we're trying to prioritize the ones that need the work and get to them, as quickly as we can possibly get to them. And sometimes it's a catch 22. We've got improvements going on everywhere. You can't spend money in one place because it may change in the next year or two. But the problem lift stations, and we do have several we're trying to get to and address just as fast as we can.
I do want to
say nothing that time and money won't solve there with those lift stations.
I do want to say that I can definitely see the improvements just over the past 2, 3, 4 years. I can remember reporting 75,000, 50,000, 100,000 gallons of sewer spilling into Tatumville Gully, which runs into the bay. If I'm not mistaken, The city only had two spills, totaling 50, 55,000 gallons, maybe, across the bay between the Mobile Area Water Sewer System and the Pritchard Sewer System.
Right.
1 million
right.
gallons
yeah.
of sewer.
And we're doing...
So I see the improvements, and I was even told by the city officials that... You know, the generators were placed at problem spots and prevented what could have been a spill, and now this new substation and things that are happening.
Right.
You can definitely see the improvements.
And we need to, you know, that's another thing. We're trying to add backup generators wherever we can, and so we're making progress. Progress is sometimes slower than we would like, but we're making progress. And you know, can I say we're doing all we can? Well, what, you know, define all you can, because we're doing I feel like a good job of managing you know, what's turned into a very, very big challenge for the city, the biggest challenge that we face, and that is with this explosive growth that is not slowing down at all. If you've looked at the prices of homes, and you know that you talk to any realtor and people are buying homes sight unseen, they're just buying it over the phone. I saw this. I'll make an offer. They're making full price offers. They're making offers greater than asking price. People are getting bidding wars over homes here, so people want to live here, and we're just trying to keep up. And
what about another moratorium to say, hey, let's take a break on new building and new construction neighborhoods, etc.? What about looking
that's,
into that again?
That's not only a good idea, Lori, but one that I would support. And I, you know, we are working on that right now. You know, it's moratoriums are difficult when you have, you know, property rights involved too. But I do think that, you know, I know that we are looking at language for a moratorium.
There, can you not borrow the language from the last one during the previous
administration? They're all, you know, they're all unique. Each one's unique time. You can only, you know, institute one for a certain amount of time. And we got to determine still what we're going to allow, what we're going to disallow. You know, I think most people would think, like maybe you're thinking right now, just across the board, straight across the board, but, you know, allow no new construction. But I don't think you can do that either. But we're looking at that. I don't want to say too much because council needs to get on the same page with the mayor.
Right.
And that doesn't mean we're on different pages, but we just, not everybody's been brought up to speed on that just yet. So I don't want to get ahead of the council and the mayor on that. But we are talking about that.
What about downtown parking? Headline in the Courier, Fairhope studying downtown parking. That's been an issue for many years.
Well, we have parking issues, not parking problems. And I'll say it. I'll sound like a broken record. We have a parking garage that remains relatively empty all day. If you can't find a parking spot, find the parking garage, and I guarantee you, unless it's, you know, Lighting of the Trees or Arts and Crafts Festival or Christmas parade or some very major event, you are going to find a parking spot at the parking garage, guaranteed. We've asked for signs to be painted on the streets. It just, that's one of those things that doesn't get executed. I've expressed my displeasure to the mayor about us, you know, authorizing a P, the international parking symbol with an arrow. Mm-hmm. Mayor said she doesn't like that. Well, I don't really care. We've already voted on it two or three times. Make it happen.
What about the
There's
shuttle?
Not, you know, but they're talking, you got a, people are talking about metered parking and stuff like that. We're not about to put meters out there. Yeah, there's people that want to come into town. There's a lot of companies that say, we'll build a parking garage for you. But what they want to do is meter every space in town and have control of that so that they can pay themselves back with a profit to have that. We may yet get to that, but we're not there yet. What about a shuttle?
You talked years ago.
We bought one. Oh, it's on order. Okay. I personally signed the purchase order. It should be here in July or August. We've got an 8-person ADA compliant, awesome looking shuttle that we're going to utilize for people using the parking garage.
Okay, and that'll come with development of the alley, the art alley.
It'll come when it'll be in use when it gets here.
Okay,
which will be in a month or two.
Okay,
so it's just, you know, kind of like COVID and everything else, things are backed up. But yes, that is something that has been ordered and should be. In the past, we voted to purchase one and it was never ordered. This time, I know it's been ordered.
And then you will have to save it for another time. Can you stay? I don't think you can stay.
I cannot stay this morning. I was out of town for quite a while, and I've got to go earn a living.
I got to ask you one more thing, though, because it's another headline in the Courier. Fairhope plans to relocate geese again.
Well, the plan's the same plan, so we're not planning again to locate them. They're just executing the plan that we passed last year, and you know, when the geese start showing up. And they start pooping in the bay, and everybody starts complaining about the high bacteria counts. And we have scientific evidence that traces them back to the geese. I don't want to be written up as, you know, having the dirtiest beach in Alabama because somebody went down and stuck a test tube in the water, mm-hmm. you know, right there where the goose feces, you know, floats around everywhere. And it's a mess. And they're not native to this area. So we want to humanely relocate these geese. We voted on it. I went down there it was either Friday or Saturday again and checked it out. And there were 50, 60, 80 geese down there again. Hey, I like animals too. They're not native. They're making a mess of the beach, and they need to be relocated. And I have implored the mayor to execute that action. And I really want some action taken on that. I want it taken. I want it taken right now.
Very good. Thank you, Jack.
All right. Thank you.
Sorry you can't stick around.
No, I'm sorry too.
A lot of ground was covered this morning. And we appreciate, just real quick, put your hat on now as the chairman of the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization, where the phase one of the bridge has been approved by both MPOs in Mobile and the Eastern Shore. What's next, and why can't it be on Biden's mega $1 trillion infrastructure plan?
Well, we were going to push to get it on there. Now, we will be pushing for that. Will we be successful? I don't know. But now that we have it on our tip, ALDOT is allowed to go out and study and do traffic studies that would possibly show that we can put a nominal toll only on the new capacity, not the old capacity. We have to make sure every time you say that, we're not talking about the existing roadways. That's the big difference. The past proposal would have allowed tolling of the existing routes, and we will not allow tolling of the existing routes. But if you want new capacity, somebody's got to pay for it. If we could get the money through the new infrastructure bill that Biden just had passed, and then it was a bipartisan bill that passed, that would be great. However, we are pursuing other sources of federal funding. We are talking to ALDOT. We're going to be getting updates from ALDOT regularly. I think the first one is scheduled for July, don't quote me on this date, I want to say July 27th at Five Rivers. Both MPOs will be in attendance, and we're going to get an update from ALDOT. But they're studying the impact. Director Cooper and I, that's ALDOT's Director Cooper, who everybody knows of, he and I, we agree on our numbers that we can get that toll down to that $2 range.
Okay, but how are we going to pay for it? So we got to wait for the federal government to give it to ALDOT to then trickle it down?
Well, you would
or
have to.
Can we get Tuberville and Carl and Brooks and Pringle and all of them on it already?
I think we can get the Alabama contingency on board, but to get something of this magnitude passed, you've got to not only get the Alabama delegation on board, but you have to get, you know, many, many senators and congressmen on board.
Every one of them that's ever been to the beach, there you go.
And they are all in favor of it. They'll tell you that they're in favor of it. But, you know, we've got to get Republicans and Democrats alike. We can't go up there pounding our chest that we're just, you know, a Republican state. We need to go up there as a U.S. state, Alabama state, a state full of U.S. citizens, and we need this built because it affects the economy of this country from California to Florida. That's the message.
Hasn't that message already been delivered or not?
It's been delivered, but it hasn't been delivered in a widespread way to the rest of the nation. And that's the message that we have to give them if we want to get a grant or what I propose, a low interest loan. I don't want to go up there.
Why don't we just, I'm perplexed as to how the federal government can give out $1.9 trillion with a T dollars and we can't get this bridge paid for.
Because they're going to say, look, because Alabama's not that populous of a state, we're going to get outvoted. They're going to say they need a bridge in San Francisco, they need a bridge in New York City, they need a bridge in Baton Rouge, they need a bridge in you name it. And so,
well, all those trillions of dollars ought to be able to buy all of those bridges.
Why do they give trillions of dollars to foreign countries before they build us a bridge? That's the part that upsets me.
Yeah.
I mean, why are we giving foreign aid in billions and billions of dollars to foreign entities before we give it to our own people who paid it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the people need to demand and vote anybody out of office is not listening.
It's frustrating.
It's very frustrating. Man, I'll get on my soapbox and my voice will go up about 3 octaves, but... It angers me, Lori. I mean, I guess they're going to outlaw that, too. You and I aren't going to be allowed to get angry about stuff like that.
Right.
Can't give our opinion. Boy, that's... You know, that's where it seems like it's going.
We're not
going
to let that happen. Can't let that happen.
We just got to go up there, and we've got to go up there in a bipartisan spirit and ask these people for something that makes common sense. To me, if they can give us a low interest loan, we can pay for this ourselves, manage it ourselves, keep the existing roadways toll free, and pay for the new capacity in one big project. That will work, but we've got to get our own contingency on board because other states are not going to support us if we don't have the support at the top. We're working on that. I'm pretty sure we have it, but we've just got to get that nailed down right now. That's our first priority. That's what we're working on.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, thank you.
I know you're out of time, and so are we. Jack Burrell, as chairman of the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization to deal with funding for transportation projects in our area, and as Fairhope City Council president. You can listen to this in its entirety by lunchtime today. We have them permanently posted on the website, wabf1480.com.